Yes, ma'am. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's a wonderful privilege and honor to be in church tonight. God bless you. I just received this. Is this a testimony, sister? All right. Praise the Lord. Let's start with the testimony.
Amen.
All right. I saw something online today that said talking about our problems can become addicting. Let's change that and talk about our joys. It's been a difficult couple of months, but God has continually been faithful. Just wanted to testify tonight of a simple thing, but a blessing. On March the 20th, when we were traveling home from Wisconsin, our car started making a noise, but it happened intermittently, and we couldn't quite figure out what it was. We took it to a mechanic in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and they told us it had to do with the power steering, and the parts would have to be ordered from the manufacturer. It would be a couple of days and approximately $800 to repair, but felt it would be okay to drive home if we took it slow and didn't make any sharp turns. On our way home, we streamed the service and heard Brother Wade Byerly pray over the prayer requests. There was a request for us, Traveling Mercies, and our car trouble. He didn't just rush over it, but he really entered into feeling as he prayed, "Lord, let the car be fixed. Let there be nothing wrong with the car." We actually looked at each other, teared up, and commented on how much it meant to us that he prayed with such sincerity. Once home, we took it to another mechanic who heard the noise but couldn't quite place what was going on. They weren't sure they could completely agree with the first mechanic, but they were not able to fix it themselves. We were finally able to get in with our regular mechanic today. They heard the noise and tried checking it out, but the oil was low, so they asked to change the oil first to help better determine the issue. We gave them the go-ahead. A couple of hours later, they called and said there was nothing wrong with the car. They changed the oil, and everything that was wrong with the car went completely away. They couldn't explain it, but we know that the Lord has answered Brother Wade's prayer. And also, on a side note, completely unrelated, I was able to pull my hair back in clips, and it stayed for the first time in 2 years. My hair is growing, thank God. That's from Brother Joel and Sister Christy, and that last part's obviously from Sister Christy. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? Amen. God answers prayer. Amen. That's wonderful. I have another testimony here. This is an update slash testimony on Tim Plummer. We had a prayer request for him last Wednesday for a cancer tumor on his kidney. He had his surgery on Friday, and it went well. They got all of the cancer. Sorry, this just decided to turn off on me. They got all of the cancer and only had to remove about 3/4 of the left kidney. They did have to cut his belly all the way around to his left side. So continue to pray for him for a swift recovery. He'll be in the hospital until, I believe, today. I don't know if you guys know. Did he make it home? He's went home. So praise the Lord. And off work for about 6 weeks. So praise the Lord for that good report. We want to continue to remember him in prayer. So one announcement before I go into the prayer request. Please check the lost and found. Even if you think you've not lost something, your child probably has. So I think it's a gathering up there. The deacons asked me to announce that. So please check that when you get a chance. It's downstairs on the outside of the kitchen area. Thank you. Prayer requests. So tonight, prayer request for Brother Angelo and Sister Annie. Sister Annie's father passed away, so they are traveling to Kenya for the funeral. Please remember them in prayer for Traveling Mercies and Sister Annie's family during this time of loss. Definitely want to do that. My mom, Sister Barbara Stutzman, contacted me today, and she got a call from her cousin. It says, my cousin Edith called and asked that we remember two situations in prayer. She asked that we pray for her daughter Martha. Her cancer has come back. She is a young mother. And Edith also said her brother-in-law was recently found in his home, passed away. She called wanting prayer. I believe this is an Amish cousin of my mom. So we have a universal God, and we know that prayer changes things. So, amen. This is an unspoken prayer request tonight for Sister Rebecca. And traveling mercies for Brother David Virgin. And Sister Cheryl Coudé is not feeling well tonight, so I want to remember her in prayer. Then we have an unspoken prayer request for a job situation. So God knows all of these. And if you have an unspoken prayer request, can you make that known by an uplifted hand? Amen. God sees that. Brother Jimmy, it's good to have you back in service. I trust that their vacation went well.
Just a small testimony. I want to thank everybody for praying for us while we were gone. We had a wonderful time. God's mercy was great. He kept us safe during our travels, and we really appreciate all the prayers of the saints. We'll bow our heads. Heavenly Father, once again, it's so great to be in your presence, Lord. Father, we entered your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, praise upon our lips, Lord. Now we enter into that area, Lord, where only you can provide the grace that we need. We ask for mercy for each and every request, Lord, that you put your hand upon it, Lord, and move upon each and every need. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to be in the service in a special way here tonight, Lord, that you be lifted up high, Lord, beyond any thought that we could ever have, Lord, that your glory would just fall down amongst us, Lord, and encourage our hearts and lift us up, Lord. Father, we just pray now, Lord, that each request would be met, Lord, and each hand that went up, Lord, you've seen the need. And Father, we just turn the service over to you, and may you get glory from it in Jesus' name.
God bless you. You may be seated. I requested that Sister Chloe sing for us tonight, and she's agreed, so if she'll come at this time. Sure appreciate that, Sister Chloe. Thank you. If the brothers will please come at this time. This is 647 in your hymn book.
child, forget the day when all the burdens of my soul are rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Long years ago, when I just humble and bow, confess to him your every sin. He'll save you, cleanse you, give you joy and peace within. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. He makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout. My brother too. Oh, he brought me, yeah.
Amen. Well, it sounds like you all came to have church tonight. And just want to say it's good to have Brother Layton back with us and Brother Trevor back with us from their travels. Brother Trevor is up in Canada at Brother Paul Dirksen's, and Brother Layton, or I said Canada, not Ohio, didn't I? And then Brother Layton in Ohio. And my mind's working faster than my mouth tonight, which is a good thing. Sometimes it goes the other way, and that's not so good. But good to have them back with us. Good to have the Ards and the Cooleys and the different ones that was traveling, the Sergeants. And my, now if we can just figure out where we're going to put everybody Sunday morning, we'll be doing good. But good to have all the home folks back from out of town. If I missed anybody that's been out of town, I apologize. But I think looking around, that's everybody that's been out of town that's here tonight. So good to be in church. Amen. Good to be in church. And just wanted to make a little announcement. Brother James Phillips had reached out to me yesterday. And there's a family from over at Brother Rogers' church. And it's actually another Brother Rogers, Brother Kent Rogers. Not Brother Ken Rogers, it's the pastor, but Brother Kent Rogers, K-E-N-T. And I think we'd had a prayer request a few months ago for them that their house had burnt down. And they've got it about 50% built back, but they're basically running out of finances. I assume the insurance didn't cover everything, and so they're running out of finances. And so they have some financial needs and also some work and things that need to be done. So if any of you brothers want to volunteer any time to help them with the rebuilding of the house, that would be wonderful. But mainly the reason I'm bringing it before the church is I feel led to give some money from the church towards that. And then also, I think Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'll take up an offering specifically for that. So I didn't want to do it and surprise people and then them say, well, I didn't have any cash on me. So we wanted to announce that ahead of time, that Lord willing, we'll be taking up an offering for that situation on Sunday morning. So keep them in prayer. If that was you or me, we would want somebody to step in and help, I'm sure. So, amen. When one member suffers, we all suffer. Amen. God bless you. Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight, if you turn with me, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, very familiar verse of this faith chapter, but I thought it'd be a good place to start tonight. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's just bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we need you again tonight. Lord, we come and hear testimonies of things that we've seen you do and hear prayer requests of things that we believe that you're going to do. Lord, we feel your presence here already in the worship service, but Lord, we don't want it just to be singing, and although that's wonderful. We don't want it just to be music, although that's wonderful. But Lord, we come tonight, and Lord, we need something from the Word that'll give us strength and that'll ground us and help us for the journey that we're on. Lord, I know there's many that are facing circumstances in their life, sicknesses and troubles, some of them financial, some of them family related, some of them, Lord, problems on their school or their work or whatever it would be. But Lord, we come tonight to a God that not only can hear, but can answer prayer. And so, Lord, we come with expectations. Lord, not because of the pastor or the song leader or the musicians or anyone else, Lord, that would put their efforts forth, but we come with expectations tonight because you promised that you'd be here. And Lord, what a great thing it is to know, Lord, that you're here. Lord, no matter who else would be here, how glad we would be to see others, Lord, to know that you're here, what a comfort that it is for whatever we're facing. Lord, I ask you just to take complete control of the service. Lord, take control of me, my lips, my thoughts, my vocal cords, for whatever you would have me to say or do. Lord, just not only me, but also for the congregation as well. Lord, may you take complete control of each one. Lord, may there be something that is stirred in their heart tonight that maybe
Maybe they've been right on the verge of getting over a precipice in their life, and they've been in the valley so long, but now they're right almost at that mountaintop, and it just seems like Satan is trying to shove them back down in the valley every way that he can. But Lord, may something that is said or done tonight, some scripture that's read or quote or some statement you would lay on my heart, Lord, may it give them that little nudge that they need to let faith anchor down and take them on over the rest of the way to their mountaintop. Father, we pray. Help us tonight, Lord. We know it takes you. Lord, there's no man in ourself that can perform anything that's good. But Lord, when you come, it's a completely different story. So we place our confidence and trust in you tonight. We love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Brother Branham says in a quote that I'm going to read, Lord willing, if we make it that far in the service tonight, towards the end of the service, I have a quote that I want to share with you. But before we get to that, I want to go ahead and kind of lay a foundation for something that he says in that quote. And, you know, we haven't announced a prayer line or anything, and I don't know that we'll have a prayer line. But I do believe that this is going to be a healing service. And that doesn't just mean that somebody's going to get healed physically. But I really, in my heart, I believe that there will be healing, whether it's emotional or whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whatever it would be, whether it's relationship problems or whatever. I believe that there can be healing in the service tonight because Jesus is here. And where he is, and wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he said he'd be in our midst. And where he is, there's healing, and there's peace, and there's joy, and there's comfort, and things like that. So we do believe that it will be a healing service. And Brother Branham says in a quote that I want to look at towards the end of the service, he said, just imagine in your mind that Jesus walked into the building tonight, and that he would walk down this aisle, and if that happened in a literal physical sense, you talk about a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You talk about the rapture being on. But whether he walks through the back doors in a physical body or not, and the way that we would think of him in a physical body as far as Jesus Christ in theophany or glorified form, he's still here. Just as tangible and just as real and just the same in every way except the physical body. Now he's in a many-membered body. Brother Branham says in one place there that he's in bride form today. So he's represented right here tonight, not just in spiritual form, but he's working through the members of his body. He's working through each and every one of you that's filled with the Holy Ghost. So even though we may not look around and be able to see a representation exactly like the Hoffman's Head of Christ, he's here tonight. Amen. He's here in spirit form. He's here in bride form. And he's still just as able to work miracles or to raise the dead, heal the sick, restore relationships or encourage people and heal emotional scars, whatever it would be. He's just as able to do that tonight as if he walked through the back door in a physical body. Amen. If you don't believe that, then just rip that little spot of Hebrews 13:8 out of your Bible, because then you really don't understand what that means. But if we really have a revelation of what Hebrews 13:8 means, then we recognize that he's just the same, just as powerful, just as mighty as he ever was right here tonight. Not because we're at church, but because he's here. Amen. Not because of the building, not because of the pastor, not even because of you wonderful people sitting on the pew, but he's here tonight because he promised that he would be. And if we take him at his word, then we can expect a real healing service. Amen. And I just want to say, I don't want to embarrass Brother Caleb, but I might, but I appreciate him and his encouragement to some of these young people to sit on the front row. We have such a hard time filling that front row, even when it's, packed out everywhere else. So it's good to see, amen, the front row filling up even before some of the back ones do. So I appreciate that, brother. It really means a lot. And shame on some of you older folks for having to let a young man come up with that idea. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Paul, Brother Branham, and historians tell us that Paul wrote Hebrews. Brother Branham said you can tell, you know, by the style of writing and things that it was St. Paul. And Paul here is speaking or writing. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the bride of Jesus Christ does not, as I know I've said this quote many different times recently, but I love it and it does us good, and our humanity has a hard time really wrapping our brain around it anyhow, so I'm going to say it again. But Brother Branham said in several places, he said that time and sight are the greatest two enemies. One time he says to God, and another time he says to divine healing. Time and sight are the greatest enemies, because when we begin to look at the scene, then we tend to lean in to our circumstances. And I can't remember the exact wording of the testimony, but they had said that, you know, talking about the negative or the bad things or whatever, it's contagious. But and so they were wanting to testify and say something positive, and I appreciate that, but I don't think that should just be for a testimony. But in our daily life, I don't want to just constantly look at the circumstances and, well, how are you feeling, Brother Nathan? Well, not too good. Everybody's against me, and it's just been pretty hard down here in Laodicea. But I want to have a positive testimony. Amen. I want to have a positive. We can dwell in the negative, and we can dwell in the circumstance, and we can dwell in everything that we can look around and tangibly see. And it's easy for us on the human side to do that. But the scripture is telling us not to pay so much attention to the seen, but to look to the unseen. Brother Branham preaches an entire sermon on this, looking at the unseen. And we have a tendency to get so caught up with what we can see and what we hear and what we read in the newspaper or on the internet. And we have a tendency to get trapped into those things of what we see. Well, things look pretty bad, and things aren't going so good, and I don't feel so hot, and this is going on over here, and this one thing's going on over there. And we have a tendency to get so caught up by the seen that we fail to recognize the unseen. Amen. Amen. Brother Ben preaches a sermon there, and I believe it's 1964, called "The Presence of God Unrecognized." And if we could look with eyes like Elisha encouraged Gehazi to look with, and look around and see the spiritual warfare going on around us, we would recognize, hey, it is dark. This age is dark that we live in. And there are terrible things going on in the natural and in the spiritual, and it's a constant warfare. But we would also be encouraged to look around and see, but there's more with us than there are with them. And when I say that, I'm not talking about another church or another movement or another group or a denomination or some whatever it would be, whatever you want to put your brand or idea or thought to. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of the devil. That there's more with us than there are with them. If we could open up our eyes tonight spiritually and look at the unseen, we would go out of here a whole lot better off than we was when we came in. I don't know about you, but after hearing Sister Chloe sing, I'm going to go out of here a lot better than I was when I came in. Yeah, I don't care what kind of day you had. If you could hear her sing and it didn't cheer you up, then, well, we probably need to check you into a nursing home or something, regardless of your age. But, my goodness, that encouraged me to hear her sing that. And I know she sang it before, but it always does me good. So I appreciate her using her gift. And I was thinking down there when the musicians, you know, maybe I'm just being too transparent tonight, but I'm just gonna, it's home folks, I think, tonight, so it's okay. But when she started to sing there tonight, and she was a little off from the musicians, the first word or two there, and I thought, oh my, I hope she doesn't get embarrassed and make a mess of it. And just about the time I thought that, she just kicked into gear and caught that key, and I thought, goodness, how many adults could do that? Start in the wrong key and pull it right back in and get it. So that's a gift. Amen. She hasn't had $10,000 worth of vocal lessons. That's just a gift in her life that God using it. And I it's always wonderful to see somebody using a gift for His glory. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, he's speaking of Abraham, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. My, what a testimony. Now, this man wasn't schizophrenic. He wasn't delusional. He wasn't seeing hallucinations and something. That's not what Paul is talking about Abraham here when he looked and he called those things which were not as though they were. Maybe you've been around people that, they have an imaginary friend, and that's cute when you're 5, but when you're 45, it's scary. And you get around people and they're seeing things that are in the room that you're not seeing, and it's not positive spiritual things like angels. You begin to wander and to worry and to get a little closer to a door or window that you can get out of. But this isn't what he was talking about with Abraham, but he said he called those things which were not as though they were. And this was Abraham's testimony that God could tell him, you'll have a child, and everything in his mental faculty said that has to be incorrect. Let's just be honest with ourselves tonight. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Medical science, his own knowledge, everything he had seen as a human being, everything he'd been taught since a little boy, everything intellectually contradicted this statement that God could perform something that he didn't have any record of it being performed before, that he didn't have any medical science. There was no pills to make this happen. There was no surgery that could make this happen. There was no witness of this even being possible, and yet he's able to look and depend on God's word so much that he could call those things which were not as though they were. Now, he didn't have a written Bible yet like we do. If he did, the only thing he had was maybe some portions of Job, because Job lived around the same time frame from what Brother Branham tells us and from what historians tell us as Abraham. So I don't know what the distance was from where they lived from one another, if they even ever came in contact with one another, or if Job was already dead before Abraham came on the earth. I don't really have a quote of scripture that comes to mind that I could support any of that, but I do know that if there was any scripture that Abraham could have had, it would have just been the book of Job. He didn't have a lot of healing testimonies that he could go and turn to. He didn't have things that the Lord Jesus had said about healing. He didn't have things that the Apostle Paul had written about healing. He definitely didn't have 1,200 and something tapes of testimonies and prayer lines and things that we do of healing. But yet with this one word from God, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he didn't have to have 10,000 quotes. He didn't have to have a whole Bible full of scriptures. He took God at his word so supremely and so completely that he could go around and testify of things that were not as though they were. God says I'm going to have a child, so I guess that's okay. Not, well, I think it's a possibility, or well, I hope that he's right, or anything like that. But he would go to the point of saying, hey, there's a child coming, and I'm going to call his name Isaac. And Sarah, you go ahead and make preparations. You start knitting and things like that to have some clothes for the baby. And I'm going to start making a little room on the side of the tent here for the baby. And I'm going to start going out and getting some wood. And me and my servants are going to make the nicest little crib for little Isaac. And people would look at him and say, you must be insane, old man. And he would say, it's okay. I understand. You're not living in the same dimension that I am. Because you're looking at the seen, and you look at wood and stone and nature and science, but I'm looking at the unseen. And he was able to call those things which were not as though they were. Now, this staggered a lot of people, no doubt. He probably lost a lot of friends. He probably became instantly not very popular. But yet, he wasn't depending on people's opinion of him. He wasn't depending. It didn't even matter. It didn't matter to him if Sarah doubted. Didn't matter if Lot doubted. Didn't matter who doubted. He had had a personal relationship with the Lord. And the Lord had told him, Abram, I can't even call you by that name anymore. I'm going to have to change your name, because your name doesn't fit your character anymore. You're going to be a father of many nations. And no doubt he'd walk into a restaurant, Brother Jimmy, and they'd say, Abram, party of two. He'd say, stop calling me by that name. But that's what your daddy named you. That's what we've called you. That's what we've known you by. Stop calling me by that name. I'm not just father. I'm father of many nations. Abraham. They said, poor old crazy guy. Just look, we don't want to lose his business. You just do whatever he says to make him happy. Because they were looking at the scene. And they were worried about whether he was going to pay his bill or not when he left the restaurant. But he wasn't looking at the scene. He was looking to the unseen. Amen. Who against hope believed in hope. Against all hope. You ever been there? The doctor didn't give you no hope. Your family didn't give you no hope. Your friends didn't give you no hope. The bank didn't give you no hope. Whatever it be. But against all hope, he believed in hope. Amen. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, we claim to be the seed of Abraham, and we get a toothache or a toenail ache or whatever it is, and we get prayed for and it's not instantly better, and we say, well, I guess God just doesn't care, and I guess God just doesn't keep his word anymore, and I guess he's just not as powerful as he was back in 1959 or back in 33 when Jesus was still here before they crucified him, or back in the days of Paul or back in the days of Moses, and we call ourselves the seed of Abraham, who for 25 years staggered not at the promise, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Let's just stop there a while. He considered not his own body. Now, let me tell you, that's more than mind over matter. That's more than name it and claim it. When you get up and you don't feel good, but yet you're holding on to the promise that I'm healed anyhow, regardless of my feelings, regardless of my symptoms, regardless of my own ability or the doctor's ability, I'm not going to consider my own body. I'm not going to consider the depression that Satan has tried to put on me. I'm not going to consider the discouragement. I'm not going to consider what anybody else has said about me. I'm not going to consider the symptoms. I'm not going to consider my age or any of these other things. I'm not going to consider my own body, but I'm going to consider the promise. Amen. Being not weak, he considered not his own body. That's more than just to, you know, get out of bed and read a little sweet something on the internet and say, well, bless God, I'm just gonna put that into action. But that takes the unction of the Holy Spirit to come and override everything we know up here and place something down here on the inside of us that overrides our thoughts and our ability and anything else that we know and says, God said so. Regardless of what anybody else thinks, God says so. Oh, you must be crazy to claim your healing when the doctor says it's incurable. Well, we serve a God that nothing is incurable. He didn't say, I'm the God that healeth all the known curable diseases. He said, I'm the God that healeth all thy diseases. So don't consider your own body. You know, it's hard for us not to do. We look and we're constantly, I was thinking about it again this morning. I know I've touched on it briefly before, but we allow Satan, if we're not careful, our whole life to do this little trick on us. And he'll come as a young person, like Philip or Zach or some of these sitting here, a young man, you know, a preteen or a teenager or whatever it would be. And he comes and he tells them, you're too young. You're too young to do anything for God. You're too young to give your heart to God. You just wait a while and just do what you want and sow your wild oats. And then when you get older, then you can do something for God. But you're too young now anyhow. What impact would you have on the kingdom of God? Well, we could stop and just testify of some young men that did a lot of things for the kingdom of God. We could testify about, as far as I can tell from the message and history and the Bible, about a man that was about 14 years old and defeated a giant when the whole rest of the armies of Israel was scared to death and trembling in their bones. I'm so thankful that God allowed a young man like that to rise up that didn't let the devil tell him, you're too young, David. Who do you think you are? When his own brothers were trying to tell him that, when the king of Israel was trying to tell him that, when no doubt everybody that was around him was trying to tell him that, but he didn't consider his own body. He considered the promise. Amen. We let Satan tell us, oh, you're too young. And then I don't know what point it gets at. I don't know if it's in your 30s or your 40s or 50s or where. But somewhere along the line, after Satan's been telling you that whole time, you're too young, now he changes gears rapidly on you. And he says, well, now you're too old. You're too old. What could you do for God now? Look at you. Your body's breaking down. You're flabby. You're gray. You're losing your hair. All these things. What could you do for God now? And so he changes gears to where he doesn't allow us any time frame in our life that's just that little sweet spot where we can really do something for God. But, you know, God doesn't care about your age. God doesn't live in time. God doesn't live in hospitals or in Medicare and all these things. He doesn't live in that type of realm or those type of thoughts. God lives in eternity. And so when God looks, he doesn't choose a man because of his age or because of his intellectual ability or because of his height or stature. He doesn't choose a man because of that. He looks, God tell Samuel when he went to anoint David? Here he looks at his big brother and he thinks, oh my, this is the king. And God said, careful, Samuel, don't fall for that trap of the devil. I don't look at the outside, I look at the inside. I look at what's on the inside of a man, his heart. And so God looks at the heart, and whether you're 7 years old or whether you're 70 years old or whether you're 90 years old or whether you're 3 years old, if you can talk and you have the ability to speak at 3 years old, God can use you. Amen. Amen. And even if you can't talk at 3 or 90 or 50 or whatever it is, God can still use you some other way. Amen. God can use you. Amen. I've seen little children, somebody that's going through a great depression or something and get around a little child and just kind of bring them out of that and just encourage them and so much. And a little child do something like that. God using a little child. You know, in fact, Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you won't be in the kingdom of heaven. Unless you get to a spot where you can be so dependent on him as a child is dependent on their parent, we might as well forget it. Because if we think that we're big and bad and we can figure it all out, then you know, there's not a whole lot he can do for us. But when we recognize, Lord, I can't do anything on my own. I need you. I needed the cross. I needed your salvation. I needed your sacrifice. I need you to come and help me. Then when we can realize that, then we're getting somewhere when we become as a child. Now, God picked different ones here. He's the first record we have of him really using Jesus in a supernatural way, Jesus the body that God came and dwelt in, was at 12 years old. He uses him to go, and here this little boy, 12 years old, goes down and he astounds the teachers and the priests at his teaching at 12 years old. Now, what if he had considered his own body and said, well, I'm just too young and I know that I came what my job is to do, but no one's going to receive me at this age. I've got to wait till I get, you know, 30, 33, 50, whatever it is, so I can get a little bit of respect at least. But he considered not his own body, but he was constantly, because he was sinless, he was yielding to the word instead of yielding to his own flesh. But, you know, just because we're not sinless doesn't mean that we can't do the same thing, that we can constantly, on a daily basis, we come and we die daily and we die out to those things of the flesh so that we can choose the ways of the Spirit as well. Abraham, 80 years old, God calls him, go deliver. Brother Trevor was talking about it in the youth Bible study the other day about what if God had called one of these young men to go and say, I'm going to go have you conquer Russia. And this was a similar request, probably even a greater request in that day. The greatest known military power, and God sends him not with a machine gun and a bazooka and an army of 2 million, but he sends him with a staff and a wife and a couple of children on the back of a donkey, and he goes down there and says, let my people go. God called him at 80 years old to start. He'd been running for 80 years. He ran for 40, thinking that he had it all figured out and knowledge, and then he ran for 40 more thinking that he couldn't do anything, and God had to get him on the backside of the desert and beat it all out of him. And then at 80 years old, God calls him. You don't feel so old now, do you, Brother Layton? 80 years old, God calls this man. Moses, or Noah rather, I think 470 or 480 years old, God calls him, says, build an ark. And at 470 or 480, he begins to build an ark for 120 years. Then Paul would tell a man like Timothy, said, let no man despise thy youth, because God wasn't looking at age. I don't know how old Timothy was. I know that John the Baptist was about 30 years old when he started, and he only had a 6-month ministry. Jesus was 30 years when he started into his full ministry, and 3.5 years, and they crucified him. They say he looked to be a man of about 50 years old because of the strain of his ministry. So it doesn't matter how young or how old or how sick or how tired or how healthy or whatever you are. Don't consider your own body. Some people look and they say, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm young and I'm healthy and things. I'll go out and do this and go do that. And if God didn't call them, it doesn't matter how good they are, how young they are, how fast or healthy they are. They'll never accomplish anything. So we don't consider our body when it comes into these things. We don't consider our mood. Well, well, you know, I kind of feel like being a missionary today. I think I'll go do that. Or our emotions of, well, I'm feeling a little bit better today. Maybe God really is healing me. But Brother Branham said when he accepted healing for his stomach there, and he said, he told his mother, said, bring some pinto beans and a big Texas onion, all these things, and come and eat it. His body was telling him, Bill, you're not healed yet. His mind was telling him, you're not healed yet. But his faith was telling him, it doesn't matter what your body says. Doesn't matter what the pinto beans are telling you. Doesn't matter what the onions or your mommy or the devil or your neighbor or your doctor or your pastor or whoever. You're healed because the word said you're healed. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, this is a scripture that, you know, we read over, and it's a wonderful scripture. We memorize it or talk about it. But to really step into Abraham and Sarah's shoes and to recognize, you know, when they were young and they were healthy, and when they were just newly married, they couldn't have children. And they had tried, and they had tried, and they had tried. And no doubt Lot and his wife would come out and say, oh, we've got another little one to dedicate today. And they'd sit there with their heads kind of down. Lord, where's our baby? Where's our testimony? And now they get older and older and weaker. And her womb begins to get dead. And now the life goes out of him in that way. And they're just 100 years old. And God comes and tells him, you're going to have a son. God didn't tell him at that time, now it's going to be 25 years, so just relax and be patient. He just said, you're going to have a son. Right. And Abraham, regardless of how ridiculous it sounded, I think Brother Trevor preached a sermon on ridiculous one time at when we was back at the schoolhouse there. And if I remember right, it was either the service before or the service after that we really, I think it was the service after when we really were looking pretty ridiculous, because it was about 110 degrees in the building. And people were getting sick and about to pass out and things, because they'd had a brownout in Charlestown, Indiana, because of the heat. And so the air conditioning, the lights and everything went out. And so there was no air conditioning, no fans. And some genius of a building person had painted all the windows shut, so you couldn't even raise a window to get a breeze. And I wasn't even preaching, and I sweated so much that I had a tie on that was kind of like this, that had stripes of different colors in it. And the tie, I sweated through my undershirt, through my shirt, and soaked the tie so much with sweat that the colors ran together. And I wasn't even preaching, so I can't imagine what Brother Trevor felt like. And he got up the next day and preached on ridiculous, and he was saying how ridiculous that we all looked the night before. But yet God did some wonderful things in the service. Amen. So we, you know, faith many times, real genuine faith. Now, intellectual faith, we can approach things with intellectual faith, and that's not ridiculous. We can explain intellectual faith, and we can reason all that out. And well, see, I believe because of this, and we can put all the scriptures and the quotes together, and we can come up with something solid to where we don't look quite as crazy. But real, true faith, not intellectual faith, but just faith because God said so and for no other reason, it looks ridiculous and it sounds ridiculous. But yet, look at what it produces. Amen. It looked ridiculous for him to accept now, after all this time of no children, now that they would have a child, but God had said so. So he didn't consider his own body. And he staggered not, verse 20, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, it doesn't matter how many tapes that you've heard. It doesn't matter how many scriptures that you've read. Doesn't matter how many other people that you've seen healed. Until you can get to a spot to where you recognize this for yourself as something that's personal to you. Not, well, mommy told me, or well, Brother Branham said it, so it must be right. Or, well, the pastor teaches this, so that must be okay. But when you get to a spot where for you personally, not that you believe that, well, God did it for Abraham, or God did it for Brother Branham, or God did it for Brother Paul, or God did it for my grandmother or my mother or whatever it would be. But until you get to a spot where you're fully persuaded that whatever God promised in this book, he is fully able to perform for you, then you're not going to get anywhere. Just saying it was nice for somebody else doesn't do you any good. But when you are fully persuaded that when God wrote some of these things in his word, he said, I'm the God that healeth thee. And when he said he would provide for you, when he said he saved you, when Paul said it was one sacrifice once and for all, and until you can completely get all your mental faculties and all your reasoning and all your ideas and all the teachings that you've had your whole life that's been kind of pressed down upon you and to where you're in this channel of a little box that you put God in, until you can lay all of that aside and be fully persuaded, not sort of persuaded, not almost persuaded, not I hope someday I'm persuaded, but until you can be fully persuaded that whatever God promised, he is able to perform, then it doesn't do you any good. But when you can get to a spot where you say, I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the finances look like. I don't care what my neighbor says about me or what my family says about me or what this one says or that one says. I am fully persuaded that whatever God promised in this book, he is also not only able, not only willing, but he is longing to perform for me if I can just wrap my silly head around it and let faith anchor down on the inside of me. I'm fully persuaded that for me personally, he is able to perform it. Then we can get somewhere. Abraham's seed, 1959. Brother Branham said, faith is ridiculous to anybody except he that's got it and God who gives it. Amen. Maybe you've got faith for things that I look at you and I think, well, I hope so. But if it's to nobody else but you, if God has spoke to your heart, if you get up and you say, Brother Nathan, God's calling me to be a singer. And I say, well, you got more faith than I do, brother. But if God said so, hey, God called Moses, a man that couldn't even probably get three words out of his mouth without stuttering, and he calls him to go and have a conversation with the greatest dictator of all the world and to go tell him, let my people go. Now, Moses didn't think that he could do it, but when God calls you to do it, you can do it whether you think you can do it or not. And we get to a place where we recognize maybe everybody else has prayed right along with you up to a certain point. Maybe everybody else has had the best intentions for you up to a certain point. But there begins to be a point to where faith in Jesus Christ, whether it's for salvation or finances or health or whatever it is, there gets to be a certain point where everybody else that isn't right there on board with the same faith that you are, that they kind of begin to wonder, well, what about that? What about this person? What about this promise? But when faith anchors down in your heart, doesn't matter how ridiculous it is to anybody else, it's going to be ridiculous to everybody else except the one that has it and the God who gives it. Everybody else. Here, Abraham, he had servants. He had relatives. He had all these people surrounding him. And no doubt at times in that 25-year journey, if Sarah, the one that God had called to be a part of this promise, if she could question and laugh and all this, and we just get a little glimpse of that, the very one that was going to be part of the vision, that was going to be part of the promise and included in the vision, included in the promise, if she could stumble and laugh a little bit, what do you think everybody else was doing to him that wasn't even a part of the vision? That wasn't even a part of the plan of God for that promise. They looked at him and they said, you're absolutely crazy. This is ridiculous. But faith is ridiculous to anybody except he that's got it and God who gives it. So when people think you're ridiculous, that's okay. We can expect it. We have a quote to support it. You think God's going to do that for you? You're ridiculous. That's okay. I don't have to convince anybody else but me and God. Amen. Led by the Spirit of God, 1956, he said, God has a way, a program, and you got to walk into that. Now, this is where, you know, it may have seemed like we were straying away from yield for a little bit here, but this is where we start getting right back into this, comes right down to yielding, that you have to yield your faith, you have to yield your own conscience and your own thought, and your own knowledge and all these things. You have to yield all of that to the program of God. And the program of God basically comes down to faith. It's a faith program. Amen. It's not a mind over matter program. It's not a get rich quick program. It's not a name it and claim it program. It's not a popularity program. It's not many things. There's many things that it's not. But one thing that it definitely is, I would say at least two things that we know that it is. It's a love program and it's a faith program. Amen. Because Paul said even if he had all faith and didn't have love, that it didn't do him any good. But when you can get faith and love working together, then something can take place. See, that's how people make fun of it and scoff at it and things like that. But that's how a prophet of God could stand and be attacked by hornets and walk away unscathed because faith and love got together. Amen. That's how a prophet of God could stand there and a killer bull charge him and him walk out of there without a scratch or a scar or a puncture or anything because faith and love got together. Amen. It's a program of God that you've got to walk into it. It's not something that you can force your way into it. It's not something that you can wrap your mind around. But faith has to anchor down on the inside of you, and it brings you into that presence. Faith brings you into that presence of love and mercy and healing, and it's God's way of doing it. He has a program. He has a plan in place, and it's based upon faith. That Brother Bram said there would be even prostitutes walk across the platform and get healed because faith and healing, or healing rather, was not based upon good works. It was based upon faith. And so if they came with the faith to receive it, they could have it. But he said, you don't even have to be a Christian to be healed. You just have to be a Christian to stay healed. Amen. I want to say this. The path to healing, the Lord just placed this on my heart, and I Googled it real quick to make sure nobody else had said it exactly this way and that I wasn't infringing on somebody else's words. But the Lord laid this on my heart this morning. The faith to healing, or the path rather, the path to healing, the path to restoration, the path to many of these things that we're looking for is paved with love. I was reading Song of Solomon today, and he made that statement, paved with love. And I thought, goodness, the path of healing and the path of restoration is paved with love. So you have to enter in, just like Brother Wade did the other night as they were talking in the testimony. You have to enter into somebody's suffering, Brother Bram said, before you can help them. And so God has a program, and we've got to walk into that program. He says again, Jehovah Jireh, 1955. He said, yes, the promise. When you can get out of your head, get it out of your head rather, when you can get it out of your head and get it down here, something takes place. Now, I would say most of us down to the 5-year-old Sunday school children, many of the promises, we have them in our head. We can quote them. We can talk about them. How God's a good God and how Jesus is a healer and how that he died to save us and he was raised again on the third day and we know him in the power of his resurrection. And we can quote many of these things. We can quote scriptures of healing. We can quote faith scriptures. We can quote deliverance scriptures and salvation scriptures and Holy Ghost scriptures and baptism scriptures and all kinds of things. But until you can get it out of your head and get it down here, then it's just something that you can argue and debate with somebody about and maybe be able to outquote them, maybe not be able to outquote them. But when you can get all that knowledge out of just your head, out of just the intellectual realm of intellectual faith, intellectual knowledge, intellectual understanding, and something can enter down on the inside that your subconscious, that your soul, that everything within you begins to recognize, this is truth. Whether I feel good or not, whether I understand all the dynamics and the mechanics of it or not, this is the truth. And your body and your soul and your spirit just begins to receive it that I'm saved because God said so. I'm loved because God said I'm loved. Amen. I'm healed because he said so. Not because of some great something that I did, but because I took him at his word. He says, Jehovah Jireh, how are you going to do it? I don't know. He's already provided the sacrifice. I just have to walk into it, that's all. He's already provided the sacrifice. As the sister sang a few years ago, once was enough for me. He doesn't have to come and die again to save me. He doesn't have to come and die again to heal me. He doesn't even have to send me a physical charger of his blood like Brother Branham talks about to save me or heal me. The sacrifice is already provided. All I have to do, now that's not enough just to work it up and us just to repeat it over and over again and say, now by his stripes you're healed. By your stripes you're healed. By his stripes you're healed, Brother Layton. Say it with me. By his stripes you're healed. We just intellectually repeat it over and over. That's wonderful, but that's just an emotional workup if we're not careful. I'm not saying that negative about quoting words. I'm just saying if we could just quote it enough to make can happen, then my, the devil could be a healer, and Jesus really didn't need to die for us. He just needed to send us some words to repeat real fast. But it has to be something where those words anchor down, not just up here in our mental faculties to be able to quote it or say it or repeat it, but when it comes down on the inside and says, that's nothing but the truth, like little Hattie Wright said, then we can walk into that sacrifice and say, hey, I can come boldly before the throne of God, not because I'm something, but because he told me that I could, and I can claim my healing, I can claim my family, I can claim salvation, I can claim the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he said so. Amen. Amen. The sacrifice is already provided. I just have to walk into it. Again, the working of the Holy Spirit, 1956. He says, just take a little mental trip now, and remember, imagine seeing the Lord Jesus walking right down the aisle, standing there by the side of you, saying, child of mine, I want to heal you more than you want to be healed. Now we hear it quoted a lot, and I've quoted it a lot to people standing in prayer lines wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that he wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want to receive it. But I don't know that I'd ever really caught this one until just a few months ago when I started looking at this Yield series. And I've been waiting to get to this point about a healing portion of it to bring it out. But he says, Brother Branham is saying, imagine Jesus walk down the aisle and stand beside you. Now, I pointed beside me, but let's not just picture him up here on the platform. Imagine him coming down the aisle and standing beside you, Brother Yarborough, and saying, child of mine, I want to heal you more than you want to be healed. I don't know about you, but if you've been sick for a while, I don't care if it's a toothache or a cold or cancer or whatever it is, if you've been sick for a while, you want to be healed pretty bad. And you get to a spot where you're pretty desperate and you don't care. Maybe brothers that you used to not even really have a whole lot of fellowship with, if you see them out on the street, you'll say, hey, be praying for me. Anybody that can touch the throne of God, I'm happy for you to be praying for me. Tell your pastor to pray for me. Tell your neighbor to pray for me. Tell your grandpappy to pray for me. Why? Because now you're getting into desperation. You're tired of being sick, and you're sick and tired of being sick. But God stands beside you tonight and he says, child of mine, I want to heal you more than you want to be healed. And I've done all that I can do now. I gave my life. I shed my blood. Father tore the spirit and body apart. I returned to be with you. He says, it wasn't Brother Branham. It was just, he just yielded himself. I sent him and he just yielded himself. And it's me speaking to you, not him. But he's telling you the truth. He's not taking credit to himself. He's saying it of me, and I was the one who died for you. He's already done everything for you. He can. We pray, Lord, come and heal us. He's already healed you. Amen. He's standing right by your side tonight in spirit form, or maybe in body form by your neighbor beside you that's filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's speaking to us tonight saying, hey, Brother Branham himself speaking the word says, it's not about Brother Branham. Brother Branham's not the one getting the glory. He's not pointing you to himself. He says, it wasn't Brother Branham. It was just, he just yielded himself. I sent him and he just yielded himself. And it's me speaking to you, not him, but he's telling you the truth. He's not taking credit to himself. He's saying it's me and I was the one who died for you. And it's me speaking to you, not him, but he's telling you the truth. And won't you believe me just now, the Son of God? He said, hear him say that to you. If we could hear him say it to us tonight, not just here in our auditory senses, not just from the lips of Brother Nathan as he read it from a quote from Brother Branham, but if we could really hear him. Remember, Brother Branham preaches it over and over and over. Hear ye him? Amen. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him? Amen. It's a statement there, but I'm asking it as a question. Hear ye him? Do you hear what he's telling you tonight? That he's healed you? He saved you? You just have to accept it. He's already paid the price 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And it's something that salvation has already been paid for. Now, we just have to walk into it. Brother Hoover shared this quote with me a couple of years ago, and I hadn't thought about it in a while. And we were sitting at the house the other night with another family and began to talk about it. And I thought it was timely with this service to read it again. Go Wake Jesus, 1963. He says, now think. We mean that everything is surrendered. I'm no more my own thinking. I ain't going to think like I think, Lord. I'm just going to think like you think. God help us.
Amen.
And you promised that I was healed. I think that. I surrender my thinking. I won't no more think about my sickness. I won't think about the disease. I love the way he words this. I won't think about the disease I had. He didn't say, I won't think about this disease I've got or this disease that I have. He said, I won't think about my sickness. I won't think about the disease I had. Past tense. That's where we want to leave it. Back there in the past. Oh, now faith is beginning to speak. Amen. Don't talk about your sickness as though it's a present tense thing. Amen. Some of you, if I had some of the things that you've been diagnosed with, I wouldn't claim it one ounce or 1 minute. I'd say the doctor has diagnosed me with this, or the doctor claims that I have this, but by his stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
Amen. Talk about it in the past tense. Well, they said I had this and they said I had that, but I am healed.
Amen.
They want to tell me that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, but I surrender my thinking. Amen. I'm not thinking about what the doctor said. I'm not thinking about my fears. What did I just heard Brother Branham, one of my favorite quotes from The Greatest Battle Ever Fought in 1962. He tells the people, he tells them to say it. Every doubt, I doubt my doubts.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know, Brother Nathan. I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm afraid. I doubt. Every doubt, I doubt my doubts. You want to doubt something? Don't doubt the word. Doubt your doubts.
Amen.
You want to doubt something? Don't doubt the promise. Doubt your doubts. Doubt your fears. Doubt what you can see in the natural, because it could be a hallucination, or it could be a mirage, or it could be a deception of the five senses. But there's one thing: if we can look at the unseen to the promise, that won't deceive you. You can look at the chart, and you can look at the papers, and you can look at false positives, or you can look at things that might have been there when the doctor did the test. But that don't mean you have to claim that. That don't mean you have to have it. Hey, they told Brother Joel he wasn't just positive for hepatitis B, but he was an extreme positive. An extreme positive. And he went back after prayer, and they told him, Mr. Harambasic, not only do you not have hepatitis B, you're immune to it.
Amen.
Why? Because when God does something, he does it right. God doesn't do it halfway. Now, I think, I'll be honest with you, I believe that Brother Joel had went in there wringing his hands and all, I'm so scared, what's this going to do? How's this going to change my lifestyle? What is my life going to be like? Oh, Lord, I know you said it, but I just don't know if you can perform it. I don't know if it's for me. I think the results would have been different. But when we surrender our thinking, the devil will come and say, what's some olive oil got to do with anything? If olive oil is so great, why isn't all the medical science just pouring olive oil on people? What's a prayer cloth that some man 50 years ago prayed over in Arizona? What's that got to do with everything? If that was the case, then why isn't there hospitals tacking handkerchiefs and sheets and things on people? And your intellect will try to tell you that. The devil will try to reason it out of you. But doubt your doubts. And surrender your thinking. Lord, you promised that I was healed, and I'm going to surrender my thoughts, and I'm going to think that I'm healed. But the doctor said, I surrender that thought. I'm healed. Why? Because he promised it. I won't no more think about my sickness. I won't no more think about the disease I had. I'm thinking about nothing but thinking what you said. Now, he says, right in front of you stands a person just like you was a few minutes ago. You were sick down here. But there is a well person standing there.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ is calling to that well person right beyond it. Now, you just by faith, as you close your eyes, walk right into that well body.
Yes.
See, then just keep on walking. Just keep on going.
Amen.
If we were going to have a prayer line, now would be about a good time to do it, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Maybe we ought to just line them up over here and say, this is your old body over here. And this is what you were, and this is the sickness. And over here stands a new body.
Amen.
Over here stands a healed body.
Amen.
And you, by faith, just walk right into that new body. And Jesus is standing on the other side of that body calling to you, saying, my child, I want to heal you more than you want to be healed.
Amen.
He said, just keep on walking, just keep on going. Let me read you one more. Glorified Jesus, 1955. Now, if you can look and live When you see hear the gospel preached on the basis of the word, that settles it. You're healed right there. Amen. What did the scripture say? He sent his word and healed them. Amen. I believe in laying hands on the sick. I believe in anointing with oil. I believe in handkerchiefs and apron. But I also believe that a man can just speak. And while Peter yet spake these words, they received the Holy Ghost. While some of them just passed by the shadow of Peter. He didn't touch them. He didn't pray for them. He didn't lay an anointing cloth or anointing oil on them. They just passed by his shadow and they was healed. Why? Because there was something supernatural about his shadow? No, because of their faith in a God-called man, that God had called him and he had yielded himself, and they just walked by his shadow. That sister came to Brother Billy Paul, said, I need prayer. And he said, well, Daddy's out of town right now. She said, that's okay. Just take me around to the back of the tabernacle and just show me where he walks in from his car. Just let me walk where he walked. That'll be good enough for me. Amen. You say, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, she got what she was looking for. One woman said, he doesn't have to pray for me. Talking of Jesus now. He doesn't have to pray for me. He doesn't have to anoint me. He doesn't have to give me a 3-hour interview. I don't have to sit in here and preach on healing. I don't have to see records of medical records of 50 other people that have been healed and raised. I don't have to see it with my own eyes. Just let me touch the hem of his garment and I'll be all right. Amen. You can still touch it tonight. Amen. By faith, you can reach out and touch it. Oh my. He says, but you cannot be healed by mental faith. You've got to be healed by a real living faith from your heart. When no matter how much you're worked up here, no matter how much you disbelieve up here, if something down here tells you it's over, it's over. That's all. Now we hear this one side of intellectual faith a lot. That no matter how much you believe up here, that you've got to believe it down here. But do you catch what he's saying here tonight? He says even no matter how much you disbelieve up here, if you believe down here, then something's going to take place and it's over. That's all. We rely so much on this. If I can just figure it out. And how many times would Brother Branham stand in a prayer line and be talking to somebody who say, I'm sorry. That light has left the platform and it's hanging over some sister back there. And he'd call her out and say, stand up, sister so-and-so, that you was sick and you was worried and you didn't get a prayer card, but you don't need one tonight. Stand up and be healed in the name of the Lord. And he'll stop and say, you had more faith than you thought you had, didn't you? Now up here, she was probably sitting there thinking, Lord, if I'd had more faith, I'd have got a prayer card. Or if I'd have got more faith, he would have walked right by my pew on the way in. Or if I'd have had more faith this, or I'd have had... And all of a sudden, up here, she's reasoning, but down here, there's something on the inside saying, but the Word said, but the Word said, but the Word said. Forget your stipulations. Forget your God in a box. Forget your circumstances. And a prophet of God stops and says, sister, you had more faith than you thought you did, didn't you? No matter how much you're worked up here, and no matter how much you disbelieve up here, if something down here tells you it's over, that's all. Amen. That settles it. There's no more fear at all. Amen. Nobody can tell you any different. You don't know why you believe it. It's not reason, it's faith. You just believe it, and that's the way it takes place. You believe it and go on. No matter what your sense of knowledge would say, be all out of reason. It was out of reason for Abraham and Sarah to have the baby, but they believed anyway, anyhow. It's all out of reason for a man to stay alive in the belly of a whale, but he did anyhow. It's all out of reason for a man to raise one from the dead, but he did it anyhow. See, yes, it is true. It's not reason, it's faith. Amen. Musicians, some of you might need it too. Let's not even call the musicians tonight. This might seem crazy. And I've never heard of anybody doing it before, but this is how the Lord's leading me tonight. So if you need healing, I don't care if it's spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever it is, if you need help tonight, Brother Branham said, let's just close our eyes and picture it tonight, that Jesus walks in that back door and he comes and he stands right by your side and he says, child, I want to heal you more than you want to be healed. And he said, picture that over here is this old sick body that she was in a few minutes ago. And he said, but over there stands a healed well body that you can just step into. And Jesus is on the other side calling you, step into this healed body. I want us to just visualize that in our mind. Hallelujah. If you've got a sickness or a need or a prayer, whatever it is, somebody, a loved one, whatever it is, why don't you just picture that Jesus is right over here with this other circumstance than the one that's over here that you're facing. And why don't you just go out the back or from wherever you're at and come up this aisle right here and walk across right here and go right into what that is. And let's give it to God's hands. Oh, I know my hands are here, and maybe you're dependent on me. Oh, if Brother Nathan would just lay his hands on you, that's sweet and that's nice, but one day Brother Nathan's hands won't be here if the Lord tarries. But Jesus will still be here.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, if Brother Branham was just here, then I know it. Well, that's wonderful, but he's not. He's here. He's just in a different dimension. But he can't come and lay hands on you. Jesus, as far as the corporal body, can't come and lay hands on you tonight, but that same Jesus is here tonight. And you can... You don't have to let him pass you by. Amen. But you can touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Why don't we just sing something and just see what the Lord will do for us. Amen. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. Just receive it tonight. He is here. You don't have to walk out sick. You don't have to walk out discouraged, but you can receive what you have need of. Amen. Not mind over matter, but taking God at his word. Having faith in God's word. Walk into the promise tonight and see what he'll do for you.
You can touch him, you will never be the same.
Amen. That's him. I didn't touch her. Amen. That's him.
Here, hallelujah. He is here.
Oh, you can receive. What did Jesus say? Be it unto you according to your faith.
I will bless his name again. Oh, he is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You touch me, you will never be the same. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me.
Can have it tonight.
Oh, I was blind, but now I see.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God. 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 Praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, oh, praise God, praise God, oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. praise Him again together. Oh, praise.
Love Him tonight.
Amen.
Amen. As they play that softly. That's not what I had planned tonight. Until about an hour and a half before service, that's not even what I planned on preaching on. The devil fought me all day. I got about this close to calling Brother Trevor and saying, "You got anything on your heart tonight?" Because I kept trying to go back to something that I knew in the back of my mind it just wasn't the right timing for it. But thankfully, about 5:30 or 6, I started to yield. Amen. I hadn't planned on having you walk by like this. In my mind, I thought, well, faith is really there. I'll have the brothers come up. We'll have a prayer line. But as I was preaching, the Lord just kept laying on my heart. Well, Brother Branham said it. Just do it that way. I thought that. That sounds ridiculous, but faith is ridiculous, except to the person that has it and the God that gave it. Amen. You say, well, I didn't feel nothing when I came by. Well, there were some that did. You could tell some of them did, but Jesus never asked you, did you feel it? He said, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Amen. Take God at His word. Thank you, Lord. It's a finished work at Calvary. I'm glad He led me to do it that way, because you won't be able to go and say, well, Brother Nathan laid his hands on me and I was healed. No, Brother Nathan didn't have anything to do with this. I didn't touch you. I didn't pray for you. I didn't even plan on it to happen this way. But Jesus Christ, amen, He does all things well. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. I didn't plan this either, but amen. Whatever He plans is better than what I can plan. Oh, it's already done. Brother Joel's healing. I'd like to just go ahead and advance and praise Him for Ethan's healing. I'd like to praise Him in advance for Brother Yarbo's healing, Sister Christy's healing, Sister Jennifer's healing. Amen. Why don't we praise Him in advance? How can you do that, Brother Nathan? Because it's already done. The price is already paid. Oh, there. Battle is over. Oh, and victory is won.
the token to those backslidden loved ones that's out in sin, but what about the ones that's in the message that you don't agree with doctrinally? We can apply the token for them too. Oh, my family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, my family is sealed. So I praise your name. Oh, that battle, it's over. Victory. Trevor, why don't you come? Just thank the Lord for what he did for us tonight. Healing people, encouraging people, stirring hearts. I believe there's emotional healing, different things. God doesn't just heal in one way or doesn't heal through just one way. But, amen. When he's here, amen, he makes all things perfect and beautiful in his time.
That we have this reality of a God that's watching over us to come and speak to our hearts. Lord, just thinking of there in Canada, Lord, as if we were having a prayer line, Lord, and You came and you spoke directly to many situations, Lord, that it wasn't me, but it was just you, Lord God. And we heard Brother Branham talking and the quote there, Lord, that it was you that came down and spoke through a man. God, Lord, how can we describe how wonderful it is that the Creator of heavens and earth would come and speak, would come and move in each of our hearts. Lord, you've done a great work tonight, and we're so thankful, Lord. We're so thankful for your presence, Lord. Be honored and glorified in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, let the praises from what you've already done in each and every single believer's heart and life, Lord. May those praises be on our lips and in our hearts, Lord, for many days. Lord, receive much glory. Receive many testimonies, Lord Jesus. Lord, be the apple of our eye, Lord. Be the thing that just thrills our hearts, Lord. The one that thrills our hearts. Love you. Praise the mighty name, the powerful name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. Let's just sing it as we go. You can be dismissed. It's been good to be in church. I'll